Have you ever been out shopping at the mall or a big box store and seen a section for white canes and other aids for blind people? Nope, me either. In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about a transaction we had at a Home Depot.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 135 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode. I've got a few things to talk about, as always. Before I really get into it, though, I just wanted to give an update, and I'm not sure if I've given an update in the last couple of weeks. I told you a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, about a problem we had with a purchase from BJ's. And we just could not get it resolved. We contacted customer service at least 10 times, maybe more. We called and we emailed, and Liz even went in with the defective item. It was one chair of an outdoor patio dining set. One chair out of six just couldn't go together. We were afraid to use it because it's a brace that we're afraid if somebody sits in and leans funny on it, you know, we're not sure how stable it would be. We just wanted it replaced. It was brand new. We didn't want to have to find a workaround for it. It was brand new out of the box when we got it on June 2nd. So we've been going back and forth with BJ's since the 6th of June when Liz really gave it a try to put it together. We had tried during the week. She had gotten the other chairs together very quickly. And then that one she couldn't. So she worked on it during that weekend, which the 6th was a weekend. Nothing happened. So she called and they told her, okay, you know, we'll send a replacement if that's what's warranted. We never heard back from them. There was another issue with the order as well. The issue, while not proper, was our error. And I say not proper because the umbrella that was part of that order, not it was sold separately, but the umbrella that was in that order, it showed it on a base. And in the description for the umbrella, it said what color the base was. If you scrolled down and clicked the drop-down menu, you saw that the base was sold separately. And I thought that was kind of crummy. I was the one that ordered it. When I read the description and it had the color of the base, I would assume, as I think most people would, that, you know, it was included with the umbrella. They cleared that up for us. We weren't happy about it, and we considered returning it, but we really liked the umbrella, so we went and got a base from Amazon. And the umbrella is great. It's a 7x9, and it has these lights in it. Umbrella is awesome. And we like the table as well, and we wish we had all six chairs. So we went back and forth over the next 4 or 5 weeks with emails, and they said they'd take care of it, and please send us pictures and give us part numbers and all sorts of stuff. I think back and forth, email exchanges, I think there were 4 or 5 emails that went back and forth, and nothing ever happened. We called one time, and their computer was down, and they couldn't take care of it. Liz called back the next day. They said they would take care of it within 72 hours. And of course, because I'm telling you this, they didn't, obviously. So she took it into the store. There's a BJ's not too far from here. She took it in. She asked, please, can I just take one that is not defective? Francis at the BJ's in Springfield on Woodland Avenue said, no, I can't break up a set. And again, it took us a long time to find the set that we liked. We didn't want to return it. We still don't want to return it because the table is heavy and we just didn't want to lug everything over to the store bit by bit. It would probably take 2 trips because of the chairs, the size of the chairs. So we don't want to do that. So, you know, Liz said, fight the charge. And we fought the charge figuring that, okay, this will spur them into, oh my gosh, they're fighting the charge. And we got a letter last week from American Express saying that they've sided with BJ's. We got the order, and if you need to return something that's defective, go through their customer care. So I immediately called American Express up, and I said, listen, I said, and maybe there was a little Hernandez tone. a little Hernandez tone in there in my voice. And we're not, you know, we keep saying Hernandez tone. It might have just started with my mom. I don't know. But, you know, she was a Hernandez and, you know, maybe we should rename it Helen tone. I don't know. Whatever it was, I probably gave them a little bit of attitude again because it had been 6 weeks since we got this set and nothing has happened. I talked to American Express and I talked to this girl and she said, and I said to her, I said, listen, if you can't help me, get me to somebody who can. I've been a card member since 1986. You are our preferred card. We put anything that can go on the Amex, we put on that because it's the easiest way for us to budget. We see how much we've spent. And when we have another card, like we have to for Costco, you know, sometimes if there's a large purchase, like when we bought the washer and dryer for the house, it kind of throws us for a loop because we kind of forget about it because we can check the Amex, you know, regularly and say, okay, yeah, we're in budget, blah, blah, blah. I will cancel the American Express card though if they overturn us again. You know, and again, 35 years with Amex as our preferred card. And again, we don't charge a whole bunch, but we don't pay cash for much anymore either. So, I mean, everything that we spend and even some things that, you know, like Pico, which is the electric company in this area, and our Verizon bundle, you know, cable and internet and phone, that all goes on Amex. So just about every household expense goes on there. All of our food purchases go on there. And, you know, so again, compared to what BJ's sends Amex in fees, I'm sure it's not much what we pay. I mean, you know, what we spend. So I'm sure they don't care. You know, so it irritated me that, you know, even though we've tried and tried, so we've sent all this documentation to American Express saying that, look, we're okay paying for this table and chairs if we just get the sixth chair. So I've already got a plan for when they cancel us, you know, when they say that, you know, again, they're siding with BJ's. So we'll see what happens there. But it's so infuriating that, you know, we've done anything and everything that we can short of carrying the chair into the store. You know, Liz never took it from the car into the store and she wouldn't take me with her because she was afraid that Hernandez tone would come out at the store, I guess. And also, I think the next time we go in, we've got to ask for a manager. You know, Francis was a longtime employee and a, you know, may not be a bottom level, but he wasn't a manager either. So that's ongoing. And it's just unreal, you know, in today's business climate that's, you know, that's how they want to play it. And you know, I'm, like I said, I'm fully prepared to walk from Amex. I don't want to. And I know we would spend our 135,000 membership rewards points before we canceled the card, but I thought they'd have our back. For some reason, I thought they'd have our back. I don't know why I thought that. Moving on to another retail experience, and this one's kind of funny. And at first, I thought the person was kidding. So we went to Home Depot the other day, and again, I don't get out that much. I think I was out 3 days last week. One of them was the Keystone Chapter picnic. One of them was Liz and I had gone out to lunch and went to a store or two to look for. I needed some shorts, and then one was I don't even remember. One was something else. This week so far, the only place I went was Home Depot the other day. And here's what happened. So we walk in there, and we needed a couple of things. We're having some electrical work done, and we needed a ceiling fan for one of the rooms that we're getting installed in another week or so. And, you know, we shop around, and it wasn't too busy, even though it was the middle of the workday. And, you know, people are asking if we need help and so forth. I mean, everybody was as helpful as can be. And then we get to the checkout. Now, I couldn't tell how it was set up because it looked like the cashier to me was almost like in a phone booth, If you don't know what that is, it's a place where they used to have a phone and all the doors, the door closed. And so it was this little contained unit. That's what it looked like to me. You know, it was mostly plexiglass, but the person came from out, you know, from inside this little area with a, you know, hand scanner and started scanning the items. We had the fan and we have a couple of, you know, the shelves that you put the tracks on the wall and then you can adjust the shelves accordingly. And I think that was it, just those items, the shelving items and the fan. I'm standing behind the cart and I'm texting with Jane, and all of a sudden the person is standing in front of me and says, "Did you get that here or did you bring it with you? Is it yours?" And I said, "What?" And Liz looked at me and said, unless you have, you know, that's from the National Federation of the Blind. I didn't realize what the cashier was asking about. And it turns out she was asking about my cane. And I started to laugh. Now, I had a mask on. I had my I Can't See You podcast mask on. And so I'm laughing and I'm thinking, well, you could see my laughter in my eyes because, you know, I mean, I thought it was hysterical. And I thought she was kidding, the cashier. When we went to lunch after we got all this stuff, Liz said to me, "Do you believe the cashier thought that you got the cane at the store?" I said, "No, she was just kidding." And Liz said, "No, she wasn't." And I said, "Oh my God, that is hysterical." I thought, how could you think that I got that? I mean, what aisle would that be in? You know, I know they have a blind section, but I thought that was just for window treatments. And I'm thinking, of all places, why would they carry that? Now, I don't know if the I don't know if the cashier thought it was a curtain rod. I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they thought it was, you know, it is pretty skinny. So maybe they thought it was, you know, in the late fall, you know, in your driveway or in shopping centers where there's curbs and grassy areas, they put these stakes in the ground, these real thin stakes. So when they're snow plowing, they don't, you know, rip up the curb or the grass or whatever. So maybe they thought it was that. Maybe she thought it was that. And believe me, I've had people joke with me like, "Oh, why are you carrying the curtain rod around?" And you know, to be funny. And you know, some people would say that's insensitive. You know, I don't really care. You know, it's, yeah, okay, maybe I'll laugh and, you know, think to myself, hey, that's not really appropriate, but whatever. You know, and as I've said on many podcasts before, you know, sometimes, you know, whether you're blind or not, you have to improvise. You know, if you don't have a hammer and you need to, you know, a nail's popping out and you have a pot, you use the pot to hammer it back in. So, you know, if something were to happen to my cane while I'm out and about and I don't have my spare on me, you know, I'd find something that would work, you know, a tree branch or whatever. I mean, if you remember a few years ago, a blind kid in a school had his cane taken away and they gave him a pool noodle because he kept, you know, hitting people in the ankles with it. Well, of course he's going to hit people in the ankles so he doesn't run into them full force, you know, when he's walking. But, you know, there was a big outrage with that. And, you know, I get it. The pool noodle's pretty, you know, that's pretty weak and is really not going to give you the information that a cane gives a blind person. And, you know, was that wrong? Of course that was wrong. I mean, you you don't take a wheelchair away from someone who, you know, runs over somebody's foot. You know, you can't do that. So, you know, I thought it was funny that, you know, this cashier thought that, you know, you know, she probably thought it was, you know, was something else. But it's just unusual, even with, and that's the one thing with mine, because I almost got it confused with someone else when I was at the picnic. You know, it says evidently, I know there's a label on it. I didn't realize what it said. It says National Federation of the Blind. Right on it, you know, a skinny label right near the top, right under the soft, cushy foam handle. And thank God for that cushy foam handle, because it would be almost excruciating to use that cane without it. And it still, on most days, it still hurts, you know, you know, to use it, even with that. So I just thought that was funny that Home Depot now sells white canes for blind folks. I guess I should have asked for the blind power tool section and see where they led me. And there are, believe me, there are people that, you know, do woodworking and whatnot. You know, even when I had better vision, I was terrified of using any kind of power tools, saws. I mean, drill I would use, but, you know, saw I would not. I just didn't like, you know, a power saw. I would use the hand saws, although now I probably couldn't use those. So, you know, and then that made me think of, you know, the curtain rod and things like that. When I, you know, when the Home Depot cashier was saying all this, it made me think of, I don't know if you heard, there's a Paralympian swimmer named Becca Myers. She's deafblind. She's won gold medals in previous Olympics, Paralympics. She was going to Tokyo, and a couple of days before she was going to leave, they told her that she couldn't bring anyone with her, you know, to help her. And, you know, as I've mentioned previously, you know, people need different levels of assistance when out and about. I'm pretty comfortable on my own. You know, some people like to have help from other people. Some people need to have help from other people. You know, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of navigating through, I guess, the Olympic Village, and I can't even imagine how it is to be a swimmer. You know, how do you know when to turn? How do you know the, you know what I mean? How do you know when to do the kick, you know, to turn and not run full force into the wall? That was always one of my issues, especially when the water always bothered my eyes, especially when I didn't have goggles and I would keep my eyes closed. So, you know, you kind of, I know I did it, and I never swam competitively, so this is this is just not wanting to run into the wall. So I thought about that, you know, whether you have the cane to assist you or you have a person to assist. And believe me, I walk a lot faster when Liz is holding onto my arm and, you know, directing me, or Liz is in front of me when we're out with the dog. You know, I go a lot faster, and I've seen it lately, especially because she's got the dog and we're not walking side by side and I'm walking behind. When we cross the street, I use my cane because I don't want to trip on the curb on the other side. Or when she's far in front of me because, you know, maybe I, you know, got hung up after I crossed the street, you know, got hung up in the grass. You know, sometimes, you know, my cane will jab into the grass. And so it'll take me a second. I have to stop, you know, it doesn't stick in the grass, but it's, you know, I have to stop and, you know, kind of work it around. And again, so I don't, you know, go into the grass, into the, you know, into the yard, and I want to stay in the middle of the, in the sidewalk. You know, and then of course there's the sidewalks where, you know, in our neighborhood, at least there are a lot that, you know, Liz will yell out lip when there's a lip, or, you know, there's one, I think I mentioned before, you know, she says one small step, you know, because I said that, I said, you know, that wasn't a drop off. That was one small step, you know, or one giant leap. you know, so when I'm far behind, I will use it on the sidewalk. I don't like to use it on the sidewalk, especially the sidewalks here, because some of them are very old. So it's not very comfortable for me, again, because of the psoriatic arthritis, to sweep, and because of the grass, because when it hits the grass, if I go too far to one side or the other and it gets, you know, it gets me hung up, it then, you know, of course hurts my wrist and my hands and whatnot. Or I should say hand, not, I only use one hand on the cane, as most blind folks do. So that I do use it when we're out, but, you know, typically, you know, when I walk on my own, I do slow down because I just can't keep up that pace with sweeping and, you know, constantly hitting the grass and, you know, it just slows me down. Again, walking behind Liz and just using what's called a pencil grip and holding it in front of me, you know, on an angle, again, think of a goalie in hockey holding a stick with one hand, and it's, you know, it's going from, depending on what hand he is, if he's a righty, the, you know, the blade of the stick is to the lower, left of the goalie, and then the upper the handle is to the to the upper right. I kind of hold it that way, you know, figuring that I'm going to feel, and it's off the ground, I'm going to feel bushes on either side. It's not going to stop me from feeling, I'm not going to feel the lips and the drop offs. But, you know, Liz is in front of me telling me that. And then when there's one section on our walk, for example, where there's these low hanging branches and they're fairly big, and I've hit my head on one of them a couple of times. So at that section, I know I hold my cane up like imagine in like, if you remember like movies with vampires and whatever, you know, holding a cross in front of you to stop the vampire from coming. You know, I kind of hold it in front of me and up like that. So my cane hits the branch, and then I duck my head even lower, and the branch just kind of rides. You know, I put my cane, goes back on a little bit of an angle, so it just rides up the thing and doesn't hit me in the head. So, I was thinking about all of that between, you know, the Home Depot stuff and then Becca Myers, you know, leaving the Olympic team, Paralympic team, you know, because she couldn't bring someone to assist her. You know, and again, I can't imagine what it's like to swim at that level. And you have all this other stuff to worry about if you don't have, what if there's, you know, again, it's different because it's not a human with you, and there's not, you know, a wheelchair, for example, is not going to catch COVID or give COVID, most likely. You know, I get that part, but it's just unfortunate. And I feel bad for her again, because as Jane and I were saying last night, you know, when you're an Olympian or Paralympian, you know, you've got an expiration date as far as how long you're going to be able to compete at such a high level. And by her missing these games, and who knows, at this point, I know the opening ceremonies are tomorrow. At this point, you know, they still could get canceled, which would also be terrible. And you know, it's just a shame for her. And you know, hopefully things work out and she's able to get back there. And again, I don't know how old she is. I don't know too much about her, other than she's deafblind and she's won some gold medals, more than I will ever do at any Olympics, unless I can get good at curling. So I just thought the Home Depot thing was funny. Last thing I want to touch on today is White Canes Connect. And I know I've talked about it a lot, and I really love doing it. It's a very different show than this. This is, as I've said in the past, almost like a vlog without video. And, you know, you don't need to see me. Although I may start doing video. I don't know why. I guess to make people on YouTube want to watch it more. I know when it's a talking head video on YouTube, I don't need to watch it. And again, I can't really see it, so it doesn't matter. And maybe that's why it doesn't matter to me. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've recorded episode 2. And originally, episode 2 was going to be all on the NFB National Convention. And we have two longtime convention goers and one person who has only been to a convention once, and then another person who was, younger, who's, you know, grown up in the NFB. And the episode with the people who are longtime convention goers was really long. The interview went long. So we decided, Lisa and I decided, to break it into two episodes. So we have one episode with the people in that one are Jim and Connie. Jim Antonacci is in the Keystone chapter, and Connie Hsu is from Erie, in the Erie chapter. And Connie, if I've mentioned her before, probably have. She used to make cookies, dozens and dozens of cookies that they would auction off. And one of the guys in our chapter who lives in Delaware County here named Buddy, and if you go to the Acme and Media, you can see him working there. He would always buy them. And it was always fun to watch the auction going on with people trying to, you know, outbid him, because he would not stop. And one year, a guy sitting behind me named Kirk said, hey, you know, he was bidding on it, and he would only go up to, I don't remember, $100. I don't remember what it was. He said, come on, if people will kick in, I'll keep going. And I told him, yeah, I'd kick in. And and a couple other people kicked in, and he actually won one batch of cookies, and I forget how many dozen it was. It was a lot. It was a crazy amount. And so when Kirk won, he just started walking around handing them out to people there, you know, as the auction continued for other items. So we talked to Jim and Connie, and again, because of their extensive knowledge and experience with the convention, we didn't want to edit that down. We wanted to leave it. So we left that, and that's going to be episode 2. And then episode 3 will be the younger folks, Addison, who was 17 and going to be a freshman at Robert Morris when she starts college in the fall, I guess next month. And then a girl named Lizzie Muhammad Park, who has just an incredible person and just, wow. I mean, she's just full of energy, and she's been in the NFB for probably 5 to 7, 8 years, something like that. Just incredible. And so that's going to be episode 3. So I've been working on episode 2. I'm the one that edits it. I'm the one that does that stuff. And it turns out I love doing that. But this episode 2 has been just so difficult. It started off with all the tracks not being synced. So in other words, all the tracks, like, you know, when I first dragged them into GarageBand, I heard everybody talking at once. And I'm like, okay. And then when I looked at the tracks, I noticed my track ended a lot sooner than Lisa's. And Lisa and I were on to the very end. You know, even after we got done interviewing Jim and Connie, we continued to talk about other things that we were going to do with the show and stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, we got off at the same time. Why is... And then I realized that for whatever reason, and I was having computer issues that night where my microphone would cut out right in the middle. And fortunately, it was never while I was speaking, because that would have been awful. But it would cut out, and right before it did, if I were speaking, it would sound like a robot voice. It sounded awful, because I know it's happened before when I was on Zoom. So, you know, when I got done the episode, I rebooted the computer, and, you know, that helped. I mean, it helped in the sense that it didn't do it again when I'm recording last week's podcast or the week before or this podcast or whatnot. It didn't help, though, with the tracks. So when I get the tracks from Lisa, because she recorded them, you know, I had to go through and sync them all up. So first I figured Lisa's is going to be probably the best, because she was the one that had hosting privileges. And we used the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania's host a Zoom account. So we figured, okay, that's going to work. So then I figured, okay, I'll sync that, and now I'll find Connie and Jim. I found Connie's right away, worked out perfectly. I got her synced up. Jim's was not, and I don't know why. I was able to finally sync up Jim's, and once I did that, I then had to listen all the way through. I was able to skip a little bit, and I said this to Liz, the reason I was able to skip a little bit was because I have enough vision to see the waves of sound on my screen, just enough. You know, I could see where there's some and where there's none. And so I could tell that when I saw waves on my timeline and waves on somebody else's timeline going at the same time, I figured, okay, there's an issue there. So I would go to that section, hit play, and see what was going on. Sometimes there wasn't an issue. Sometimes it was back and forth quickly. And again, I couldn't tell, you know, little breaks in the middle, I couldn't tell, you know, and I couldn't tell how they actually lined up. So I was able to go through and I, you know, edited that where I extended mine, you know, and I don't know why there were these gaps in my timeline, unless it was when I was unplugging and then replugging my mic back in, my headset back in, you know, to fix the issue. Because what would happen as somebody was talking, all of a sudden I wouldn't hear anything. And had I tried to speak, like I said, it would sound like a robot. So I knew as soon as I couldn't hear someone, I knew that there was, I knew that there was a problem. And, you know, so I would quickly hit the mute button on Zoom so I didn't create some sort of noise plugging back in, and then plug it back in, waited until I could hear, and then hit the unmute button. And fortunately, it worked out where somebody wasn't saying something to me that I had to respond to right away, because then that, of course, would have sounded awful as well. So over the course of 3 days, not counting the recording time, but just over the course of 3 days of editing, I probably spent about 5 hours, you know, piecing it together. Because again, once I figured out my section, there were times, for example, Jim sneezed at one point while he was talking. It would have been great if he sneezed when somebody else was talking, because that I could just chop out and not a big deal. But he sneezed while he was talking, so I had to cut that out. And then I had to cut out, you know, Lisa saying, God bless you, you know, because obviously you don't want to, you know, just a God bless you in the middle of the podcast would have sounded funny. So I cut that out and I get it all done. And I'm super excited because I finished it last night at around 2:30, quarter to three in the morning. I went up and did the dishes. I came back down and I listened again. And one other thing that I really had to chop up, we decided, or Lisa decided, that we would have, instead of me doing the pre-roll intro, we got Connie and Jim to do it, which was a cool idea, but it seemed to be super difficult for them to do it. I don't know if it was because there was a delay in Zoom, whatever. They were going to say, the plan was for Connie to say, hi, I'm Connie Hsu from Erie. And then Jim would say, hi, I'm Jim Antonacci from Philadelphia. And then together they would say, and this is White Canes Connect. Well, the timing was just off. They just couldn't get it. So then they decided, Connie would say, hi, I'm Connie Hsu from Erie. And Jim would say, I'm Jim Antonacci from Philadelphia, and this is, and then Connie would say, White Canes Connect. Great. And I edited it, even though I had to take it from a couple of different takes. I got it, and I thought, man, that sounds great. And I upload it to, you know, I come back downstairs after I do the dishes. So now it's like quarter to four, you know, because I was also doing some other things, you know, while it was processing. You know, after I got done the dishes, I came back down and you have to process it, export the song as, you know, export, you know, the item as a song, which then, of course, you know, basically means it's an MP3. And the show was an hour and 14 minutes. So it takes a while. So I was on Facebook. So it probably got done, you know, within 5 or 6 minutes. But, you know, I was on Facebook looking and doing and whatnot. So when it got done, I find the MP3 file, I upload it to icantseeyou.com, and remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long, icantseeyou.com. I upload it there, and I thought, okay, let me email Lisa so she can have a listen. And I start to play it. I listen to it, and I'm listening, and I'm like, why is it so quiet? I heard Connie, I heard me, I heard Lisa, I heard the music, and I love the music. The music is just great. But I couldn't hear Jim, and, he wasn't there. I went back and I looked at the file and opened it up in GarageBand, and I see that Jim's thing is there. Why am I not hearing it? I try to play it within GarageBand. It's not working. I'm like, what the hell? Well, when I go back in and look at the file name for Jim, for when he recorded, hi, I'm Jim Antonacci from Philadelphia, had the same exact file name as the one from when we did the interview. So my guess is, and I'm not 100% sure, my guess is that because it had the same file name, it overwrote the interview part. So I'm really mad and I'm trying to fix it. And I hear my computer say it's 4 o'clock because it tells me on the quarter hour what time it is, or I'd never know because I wouldn't look or try to look. I'm like, 4 o'clock, do I keep going? This could take another couple of hours. I don't want to stay up till six. I said, you know what, let's just go up to bed and I'll start back at it in the morning. And that's what I did. And, you know, so when I came down today, I started back at it. I loaded the newest track. I renamed the newest track of Jim that he had done yesterday for the Hi, I'm Jim Antonacci from Philadelphia. I changed the name of it slightly and, you know, then dragged it into GarageBand. And I was able to edit it fairly quickly. It sounds good. It was because of editing, it sounds a lot better than it did when they did it together. And that's the beauty of having the separate tracks. It just makes it easier. Like I said, had Jim sneezed when he wasn't talking, it wouldn't have been a big deal. I would have just chopped that out. And it would have been no problem. So the separate tracks really saved it. And I was able to play around with it and get it to sound even better than when they did it. So I did that. I listened. I checked it all. I then processed it again. And then I uploaded it to my website, icantseeyou.com. And I'll put a link to it from the website. It's a long link, so I can't even tell you what it's going to be called. It's just going to be a link to the media file. And again, it's not a podcast yet. It's just going to be an MP3 that you can listen to on your computer or on your phone, or you could download it. You can listen to the beginning because I just love the music. I was telling Liz, I love the music that I picked for it. In between each segment, there's a musical bit that I think I may, if I find something, and I haven't found anything yet, if I find something, I'll use it for this. So from the Home Depot story, to this, I would have put this little musical bit, you know, just a little like stinger, a couple seconds long. So I sent the link to Liz to make sure it was there and she was able to access it. And then I sent it to, once we found that she could do it, I sent it off to Brian, who is the webmaster for nfbp.org, where the webpage is for White Canes Connect. And to get to that page, so you don't have to remember all that stuff, you can just go to icantseeyou.com/WhiteCanesConnect or icantseeyou.com/WCC. Either one of those will take you to the page over at nfbp.org and the page there. Now, I don't know how long it'll take Brian to get that posted. The last thing I sent him for Keystone Chapter, it took a week. So hopefully this one will happen faster because we already have most of episode 3 done, which is the interview with Lizzie, Mohammed Park, and Addison Lemon. Lisa and I just have to do the intro and the conclusion, which the conclusion usually is we talk about things that are happening within the Pennsylvania affiliate, which means the NFB of Pennsylvania. We talk about things that any chapters have sent in for us to talk about. And at this point, nobody has sent anything in. So I talked about the Keystone Chapter t-shirts, which, by the way, are still available. You can go to the Keystone Chapters page over at the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania's website, and that's nfbp.org/Keystone Chapter. I'll put a link in the show notes like I did last week if you want to buy a t-shirt. They're Irish green, white on the front, white writing, white logo on the front, and on the back, white writing that says, "Live the life you want," which is the tagline, or I guess mantra even, of the National Federation of the Blind. Maybe if I can, I will post a picture. I won't even start talking about problems I'm having posting pictures on my website. It's been an ongoing issue, and I'm not sure why. I've tried to get some help from some people, and it's just still not working. So I have to hire someone to do some other things. So when I do that, I'll have them fix that. And hopefully I'll have some more pictures on there. I was able to post, though, if you went to icantseeyou.com/134, the image that I posted on Instagram of me at the retina specialist appointment last week. So I was happy I was able to do that. I'm not sure why that worked. I don't know if it's because it was a new post or whatnot, but the post that I was trying to play with the images on, I realized... When I was trying to link to it from icantseeyou.com/134, I went to this post. It's a blog post. It's called A Long Weekend in London, when Jane went to did her semester abroad and we took her over there and we didn't have a lot of time, you know, I did a blog post because, you know, we were only there for like 66 hours, you know, from the time we landed until the time we took off, because it was the beginning of school for Liz. And the beginning is so important for the little kids in her class that she didn't want to miss more. So I did a, you know, I did, you know, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 words on the weekend that we spent and everything that we did. And, you know, I posted a few pictures, me coming out of a phone box, me and Liz and Jane sitting on a bench in front of one of the old buildings at Regent's University London. There's one more image. I don't remember what it's of. But I noticed when I went to the blog page, none of the images were showing. And so once I started trying to play around with it, they were huge and, you know, I didn't want that. And then the problem started. So it was, you know, it was just a hassle. And speaking of websites, I've actually started to create a White Canes Connect website just because I don't like not having control over, you know, when an article, when an item goes live. You know, the episode is done. I want it up there now. You know, call me Veruca, call me what you want, but I want it available now. And I'd like to see some stats on, you know, who's looking, how many people are looking at it. And even if it's not a podcast, not, you know, there's not a podcast, but if you have Google Analytics, which at this point, the state affiliate site does not. Now that site's under redevelopment. So, Brian had told me that will have, Google Analytics on it once it's redone. And in all of this going on, Brian asked Lynn, who is the president of the affiliate, to add me to the technology committee, and she agreed. So I have that coming up now too. So I'm kind of excited for that actually, though, because you know, I like doing web stuff. I like doing the podcasts, and I realized as I was setting up whitecanesconnect.com, I like doing it. And, you know, and that's the reason, you know, when I went to Chubb back in 2003, I knew that I liked doing it and I wanted to learn more. And that's why, you know, Dan and I started digital graphics design, because I wanted to do it. You know, it never really became anything more than a side hustle, but, yeah, I like doing it. And as I've said before, I do, you know, things so slowly that it's just silly for me to, you know, to actually do a whole site for someone else. But I like doing it. I don't want to manage a company that does it. I want to do it. And as I've tried with another site that I'm working on, sometimes it takes me forever. And, you know, that gets frustrating. So, but I just like doing it. I like doing this creative stuff. And at some point YouTube will become a part of that once everything gets clicking with a few things. And believe me, the YouTube thing will come sooner if American Express sides with BJ's again and doesn't get us the new chair. You know, and we have discussed, as long as we can still return it. I don't remember what the return policy is for outdoor furniture. Sorry to jump back to the first thing I talked about, but I think it's 90 days. If it's 90 days, we have until September 2nd and we will take it back. And start all over again next year to find something. And of course, you know, if we have to take it back, BJ's will get canceled, and so will the Amex card. All of our Amex cards, because we have both platinum and blue. I don't want to, like I said, but that is what I have for you this week. So it's a few things, and I will post a link to White Canes Connect as it's hosted on ICANSEEU.com. Again, it's just going to be a basic player when you click on it, but you can listen to it, and I believe you can download it. Again, you don't need to download it. You can get a feel for it by listening to the first like 3 or 4 minutes, because it's got both the intro music to the show, which is also the outro music at the other end, and then it's got the little stinger going from one thing to another. And I like to have that music because, especially for when I'm doing like an interview, it sounds different when I'm taking the audio from Zoom and when I'm doing the audio from within GarageBand. And one thing I realized after all this, and I keep saying this, I know you guys probably think I'm nuts, and maybe I am. I will be ordering the equipment very soon once I can figure out where I'm going to get it from, because I can't have, you know, it was a nightmare trying to sync up that episode. And it's not to say that it wouldn't be a problem even if I had that equipment, but I wouldn't have had the gaps, I don't think, in it like there was in my track, you know, from the interview with Connie and Jim. So that is what I have for you. Episode 135. I'm excited for next week's episode. Not that I know what I'm going to talk about yet, but because it's number 136. And I always think of my mom with 136. When she moved out of her independent living apartment at Maris Grove, the first place she was when she was in the, it wasn't skilled nursing, but assisted living, her room number was 136. So it always makes me think of my mom. And 36 is for Jewish folks is double chai, which means double life. 18 is chai. So I just, you know, again, 136 again doesn't really mean too much other than to me because I think of my mom. But that's next week's episode. This has been episode 135. You can find the show notes at icantseeyou.com/135. I'll have the link to White Canes Connect episode 2 and any other links that I've talked about, which I don't think are anything. And a little bit about what's going on in this episode. And I really do appreciate you listening to the I Can't See You podcast. I appreciate your support. If you haven't already rated and reviewed, I'd appreciate that too. And share it with your friends if it's worthy. And do check out White Canes Connect episode 2. Again, just the first couple of minutes so you can see what I'm talking about. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.